March the 22nd at 2 p.m.
This is a little
interview with John Swagler,
early day pioneer. Has been coming in here for the past 50 some odd years into Alaska buying fur. This is a little story as he told it to me in his office in the Nordea Hotel. He was born in 1879 in Austria, Vienna, Austria. And he's traveled the interior of Alaska and met practically all of the early day trappers and traders and in the stores along the different rivers, the Yukon and the Koyukuk, and over in the Nome area and over in the Bering Sea. This is a little incident he told me about in the Bering Sea. Long about 1921, he was with a trading schooner that come up from Tacoma, Washington, owned by a wealthy man in Tacoma, on a trading mission. And in the years prior to 1921, there was a free travel between Siberia and Alaska in those years. And the revolution in 1917, when they put up the Bolshevik government, it took two or three years before they got over into the Bering Sea and along Siberia to put in their Iron Curtain. But there was a Russian boat with some soldiers there, attempted to take their boat away from them. They pulled into this port, this trading port, and these two Russian soldiers and some Russian officers were going to confiscate his boat, take it away from him and send them back to Nome. So he told me that his crew of men got together secretly and arranged to trap these Russians on this boat and get their boat to sea. There was a storm coming up, and the Russians refused to let them move the boat. So they got the two soldiers with their rifles separated, and the members of Johnny Swagler's crew, he was in charge of this boat and this crew on this trading schooner, they got these Russian officers separated and got one of them in the wheelhouse and one of them in another part of the boat and seized them. And one of the soldiers, they got him tied up, got him roped and tied up. Johnny said he carried a piece of rope in his pocket, and when they had the signal, why, they seized him and tied him up. And the other one, there was four of his crew, went ahead up in the forecastle and captured this other one. But the man was reading Russian magazine and or paper, and he had stood his rifle in the corner, so they seized his rifle and he attempted to start to give him a tussle, so they got a great big wrench there and held it over his head, and he gave up to save his life. So the wind by this time was getting pretty strong, so the Johnny's crew, one of the members of his crew, cut the chain, the anchor chain, and left it at that port, took a link out of the chain and dropped it, and the wind took him out in the sea in this rough water where this wind was blowing, and they got their boat to going and got in operation and took these two Russian soldiers they still had on board to Nome. And they landed in Nome. They got on the telegraph there and called Washington and told them they had two Russian soldiers over there at Nome. And the secretary in Washington ordered them to, the people that had captured the soldiers, ordered them to support them and feed them and pay all expenses. So Johnny Swagler told me he made a deal with a Russian boat that was coming into the Bering Sea to pick them up on their trip. They had a Russian boat that had a contract to come into American ports with cargo. So this Russian boat, Johnny said he charged them $250 to take their own people back to Russia. And they paid that, but they saved their boat and their supplies that belonged to this owner in Tacoma that they were chartered to. And I asked him if he'd been over in the Yukon. He said no, he didn't go into Canada because they made him buy a special full
License over there was $150 in 1921 for a license to buy a fur in Canada. So he went up along the Yukon River and Fort Yukon and Eagle and Circle in that country. And the trappers from Canada would sneak across the line with their furs. He picked up a lot of fur that was bought, actually trapped over in the Canadian side. But these fellows lived along the line would bring it over to Johnny to buy. And I asked Johnny if he would give a story to the pioneers of Alaska Igloo 4 for the historical records. And at some later date, he said he would think about it, but he didn't feel like talking today. You see, a man in his almost 90 years old is not able to do everything us younger people do. So I hope this little memorandum will be of interest to the pioneers of Alaska Igloo 4. And this is Harry Hughes, a member of Igloo 4, recording for Igloo 4.
Just a minute.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, I am. Well, we landed in Nano one too sunny how. We brought all the 400 cupcakes down and Granny Claw beat us down here. Well, old Pelican said, Mr. Donaldson. And the Wiccan.
Now they're going down and have coffee.
You just go ahead and talk at it. It'll take it down.
Oh?
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Well, just tell us who you are and where you're at and when you come to Alaska.
Oh.
This is Mary Peterson, it's me now. And she's early day Dawson night.
No, I never worked in Dawson. I just went up there.
You just went for a visit?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I lived up in the 40 mile for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm. You talk right at it. Mm-hmm. Talk right at this.
I'm a husband that works up there for 15, 20 years, and then we came down, we moved to
moved to where?
We moved over to Caribou Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Then we lived there for 4 years, then my husband died, and then I come around, started coming around. I came up in 1919.
You come to Alaska in 1919.
Where I went to Anchorage. I was there for until 26. Back up to Fairbanks.
Well, Mary's got a store here at Nenana.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you start up Nenana, Mary?
5 years ago.
You have a lot of prominent visitors here. You have our grand president of the Grand Igloo, Mr. James Jorgensen.
Uh-huh.
And George Bajonich and Mary Bajonich,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Crawford of the FE Company, and two ladies, and Earl Pilgrim, Jimmy McDonald's here, and Andy Wickens walking around outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're down here for the
Pioneers
meeting on April the 1st. And the river is still fairly safe here, and everybody's talking about the ice pool. Make sure everybody's got tickets. What do you think about the ice pool, Mary?
Well, it's hard to say right now. I put my tickets around about the 7th and the 9th.
Tell us how cold it was down here, Mary.
I was outside.
Oh, you were, all during
yeah.
the cold spell?
Mm-hmm.
All these people are getting so they run outside when it gets cold.
Yeah,
they
I was,
do that.
Down Southern California, where it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't get that. Sure glad I missed him.
Mm-hmm. I'll try to let you hear this and then marry him and see how it sounds.
What's your name,
Mr. Crawford?
Huh?
Talking to the microphone.
Well,
what are you doing down in Reno?
Well, I came down here for the Pioneers meeting.
See, what are you doing? Want to fix the tripods that are not on your ticket?
Yeah, I thought I'd check up on that, too, while I was here. Do the best I could.
Who come down with you?
Well, my wife drove me down. I just rode along with baggage.
How about you, Jim? Jim Jorgensen? We got it.
Jim's laughing so hard he can't even talk.
Sure was cool down here this summer, early winter.
Well, Andy Wickens down on the ice looking the river over down by the tripod, and Jimmy McDonald's running around here going to get a picture, I hope.
Johnny Ireland.
Talking to this. Talking to that. Don't just hold it about there.
Yeah.
Tell me your name.
What?
Tell me your name.
John Ireland.
And where was you born, Johnny?
In the 6th of October.
Where?
Back in Norway.
You was born in Norway. What town?
Hemnes.
Hemnes, Norway?
Yeah.
When did you come to Alaska?
1901.
Yeah. How did you come in? What route did you come in?
I come in on the steamer.
Yeah, but where'd you land?
In Ketchikan.
Ketchikan?
Yeah.
And when did you come up the Skagway?
No, then I went to working in the candy.
Oh, along the coast?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Duck at the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the... And then I went down below, and that year I went up to Ketchikan,
mm-hmm.
and I went over to Prince of Wales Island,
mm-hmm.
working in the softy.
Mm-hmm. When did you come in the interior? Keep on talking, Johnny.
1906 I come into Dawson.
1906. What did you work at when you come in here then?
Well, I work on the claim.
Mining?
On El Dorado.
Mm-hmm.
13 El Dorado.
13 El Dorado.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you work for?
Anton Smithroot.
Smithroot?
Yeah. Mrs. Smithroot. Anton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I work for another one, the Colony. An Englishman.
Yes, yeah.
Colony.
Mm-hmm.
And then I work on the line, telephone line.
So you worked with the telegraph, the Army telegraph?
No, not the telegraph. You see, the telephone line was going alongside the railroad.
Oh, railroad telephone.
And there was the Jeffers Company, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to have a watchman, they was blasting and blast down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And they had somebody repair it.
Oh, I see.
So I was at that for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked for the Guggenheim.
Down Copper Center?
On the line, in Dawson.
Oh, in Dawson. You worked in Dawson for the Guggenheim.
Yeah, for Guggenheim.
Uh-huh.
And then I worked one summer for, right between Dawson and Coal Creek.
Mm-hmm.
They built a line there, an English company.
Mm-hmm.
Coal Creek, that's on the American side.
No.
On the Dawson
Canadian
side.
Side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in 1911 I went down to Iditarod.
You went to Iditarod mining?
No, I mined here for a while and then I worked for the Guggenheim for 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was working in a powerhouse for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Operator.
Well, they had electric power there then?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, sure, they built a power plant.
Was it AC or DC?
It was AC.
Mm-hmm.
Automatic current.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running the power 12 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
The boss, he never come to work before, so I put in 12 hours.
Mm-hmm. When did you meet Bill Burke?
I met him, I guess, 1918 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. What was he doing when you met him?
He was carrying meal.
In the where?
Meal. Carrying meal.
Oh, in the mail?
Mail carrier.
Yeah.
Mail carrier.
Mm-hmm. You drove dogs?
Yeah, from Ruby to Iditarod.
From Ruby to Iditarod.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Bartending bar in those.
Yeah.
Now, when did you get the job bartending, Johnny?
What?
Where did you get the job bartending?
Oh, I tap bar for a fellow named Nils Krantz.
What's his name?
Nils Krantz.
Nils
Krantz.
Glanch.
In
Dawson?
No, there was in...
Iditarod.
Iditarod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did you attend bar?
Oh, off and on. Not steady.
No.
Just off and on.
Was any dance hall girls there?
No, but there was lots of them on the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go ahead and question.
But
keep it up close to his mouth there so he can get it.
But there wasn't any dance hall girls in the bar where you were working?
Yeah, there was lots of them in Dawson.
In Dawson, yeah.
Were they good looking?
Yes, all good looking.
Johnny. When did you go to work from there for the NC company?
In 30.
You went to work in 30?
Yeah.
And then you worked in the NC company pretty near all the time?
Well, the telephone of the NC, it was the NC company anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Telephone electric boat.
How old was it when you were still climbing poles?
69.
You're 69 years old and you're still climbing poles.
Yeah.
And I used to come out once in a while and help you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
69.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not very many linemen who are climbing poles till they're 69.
Not that old.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, most workers do now, done that in alone.
Yeah, worked alone in those years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hanging transformer and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you get no credit for it anyhow, so...
Well, Johnny, you come down to Nenana to this meeting today.
Yeah.
What kind of a trip did you have on the road?
Fine. It was a little rough, but it was...
Rough and slippery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard driving.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be right here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you come with?
I don't know his name. He's a fat fella.
You came with a fat fella?
Yeah. I haven't seen him since we come in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's here now or not.
He just picked you up at Eagles Hall?
Eagle Hall, yeah. There was four of us.
Yes. Who were the other three?
You know that...
keep it up close to
I can't think of his name now. He lives in Van Grail.
Grail?
And
you come with Nyland. Nylon?
I don't know, he's a fat fella.
Yeah, Nylon.
Yeah?
He lives across from Tom Jones.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He bought some just a wicklet on.
Mm-hmm.
He went over to the plant and he got some there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name, Nylon?
Nylon, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I know him.
Yeah?
Nylon saved his money. He's pretty well fixed.
Yeah?
Yeah?
A good nature fella.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you get a little tired. We'll stop then.
What?
Well, you getting a little tired, John?
No, I'm not tired, no, but...
Have another beer.
No, I don't want any now.
Oh.
Next time.
Get your name on. No. Well, you talk to... Yeah.
No.
What's your name? Come on, give me his name.
No.
Come on.
What?
What's your name?
Jack Paul.
Jack Hall?
Jack Paul.
Jack Paul?
Yeah.
And how old are you, Jack?
64.
64?
Yeah.
You're 1 year older than I am?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
Jack.
He's kidding. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
When did you come to Alaska, Jack?
1914.
Where'd you work?
In Juneau.
In Juneau, AJ Mine?
No.
No?
In a restaurant.
In a restaurant?
Yeah.
You're a cook?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember now. I know his face. Mm-hmm. He's commenced to tell me who he is now.
Yeah.
How long since you cook?
No, since, we'll say 1920.
Where'd you cook, in the model in town?
Every restaurant in Alaska.
It was all over?
Did
you ever camp cook in the mines?
Yes. Citrana.
What can you tell me funny of that happened up in those places?
No, not much.
You didn't serve them bear meat and tell them it was beef, did you?
No.
Not quite, huh?
Not quite.
You don't remember when Rodekite was selling horse meat for moose meat here, do you?
No.
You don't remember that?
Nana?
Yeah, right here in town.
No, I heard about it.
This is a game warden caught Rodekite for selling game meat over the counter.
Yeah.
So he was doing it on the sly, and some natives found a dead horse out here and skinned out the hindquarters and brought him into Rodekite. And he hung him up, and he was selling it. So somebody turned him into game warden. They come down, and they found out it was horse meat he was selling instead of moose meat.
That could be.
Yeah, that happened here. I was here when it happened. Well, John, I'll let you hear this little bit back, see what you said, huh?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Phil Argo, the president of the Nenana Igloo 17. We are meeting here, a mutual meeting with Igloo 4, an auxiliary aid of Fairbanks, and everybody is welcome. Have beer and food for everybody, and there'll be more later.
Well, what's going on around here? Who's some of the characters, people you know around here now?
Well, we have Adolph Stock, president of Igloo 4, John M. Jorgensen, president of the Grand Igloo, and many others that I don't know.
Well, we hope we all get acquainted.
Yeah, that's...
Do you remember 2 years ago I took a tape recording here in the hall and we had over 100 people on it?
That's right.
I'm still holding that, so one of these days we'll play it back.
That's right.
So we'll get to hear it. Mm-hmm. And I'm still taking tapes for Igloo 4.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And... many of them was here before or here again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we hope we have a good meeting today.
We hope. We're going to fire up here.
You sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure.
John Clark's the president of the ice pool this year.
Right.
Chairman of the ice pool committee.
Yes. I'm the president, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm the manager.
Manager?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't care what capacity you got as long as we win that ice. How come they haven't got the wire up?
Too early yet. It's going to be a late breakup.
It's kind of mushy down there, though.
Yeah, I suppose.
What kind of trip do you have the other day coming down? Slipper like today?
Where?
From Fairbanks when you was in town.
Oh, I was south. I was down in Clear.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, from Fairbanks down the other day when I saw
mm-hmm.
you? I was fine. But
well, now,
not today.
Eva McGowan sent greetings to you. And
go ahead. Both of you talk.
Yeah.
Introduce him. Put him on there.
This is down at Nenana, April 1st, at the Pioneer Mug Up given by Igloo number 17 here at Nenana. I'm going to have a few words with my old pioneer friend, Bill Burke. Bill, when did you first come into country?
1907.
Now, Bill, when you first come into country, did you come in, was you with the Signal Corps? Or?
No, I was in the infantry when I came.
Oh, the infantry.
But I bet I'm the only ex-soldier in Alaska that's come from Honolulu straight across to Valdez.
Is that right?
I'm the only one left.
Well, what outfit was you with, Bill?
I was in the 10th Infantry.
10th Infantry?
Yeah.
And where were they sent to here in Alaska, stationed at?
I was stationed at St. Michael.
St. Michael. And from St. Michael, where'd you go to?
Well, I bought out of the Army in St. Michael and went carrying mail.
Oh, you went carrying mail. What year was that, Bill?
I bought out in 1910, and I drove dogs for the Army one winter, and then I went on the mail. And I carried mail till the First World War broke out, and then I went back in the Army. And I stayed in through 22, and I bought out again in Fort Lawton. And then I went back on the mail. Mail I carried after I came back was from Nenana to Flat. We went straight through. 386
miles. 386
miles.
Well, that was quite a trip. How often did you carry that mail, Bill?
Well, we made a round trip a month.
Round trip a month.
Uh-huh.
Well.
Congratulate you.
Thank you.
Where's Mary today?
Oh, she didn't get down here.
Are we ready now?
Yeah.
I have to walk through the windshield so I can see something going back.
Yeah. Well, Bill, You carried that mail. You used to make one round trip a month from Nenana to Flat.
Yeah.
And how many years did you carry the mail?
8 years on that one run. I carried mail 19 winters.
19 winters? Well,
I carried from out of St. Michael, Ruby, Caltag, out of town and all. And I carried mail from Ruby to Ophir one winter.
Well, Bill, that was all by contract, wasn't it?
Well, I subcontracted. It was contractors. The NC had part of it, and Devane had some. Coke Hill had it.
Yeah.
I subcontracted. I never did carry mail for wages. I carried on a subcontract all the time.
I see. Well, Bill, on those trips, you must have experienced some pretty rough going at times. Did you ever get into some of this real cold stuff on the trail? I mean, you say, were you... It was pretty hard to survive for man and dogs.
I was on the trail. One Christmas day, I left Loudoun, and there the Indians had a 24-foot flag up on the pole, and it was standing right straight out when I left Loudoun. And when I got some lousy that night, 30 miles, it was 66 below.
Well,
it went down 6 degrees during the day.
How many degrees?
It went down 6 degrees during the day.
60 degrees.
66 below. When
it was
66 below. Well,
it was 60 in the morning when I started.
Is that right?
But them days, hello, Faye. Them days we used to have to go day and no matter rain or shine, and we delivered the mail once a week during the breakup and the freeze up. When the ice was running in the Yukon, we had to go just the same. I put a boat on the ice. Fred Clark and I at Loudoun. I wasn't on the mail at that time. I was in the Army, but I went with him. And we put a boat on the ice with a tent and wood and to drift with the ice down to the ladder. And we busted up down at Bishop Mountain. And we showed the mail up on the ice for a few more rounds. We shook hands. Goddamn, we kicked the ice, slammed us out on the bar, just below the rock. And we went down to a cavern about a mile. And next day, we come back and got the mail. You didn't have to take much mail, you know, 30 pounds maybe, what you could pack. But that mail had to go through every week. Rain or shine.
Get where it's born in the days.
Yeah, Bill, where was you born?
Springfield, Illinois.
Springfield, Illinois. And what year was that?
87.
1887.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when did you get married, Bill?
Well, how long ago? It was,
well, you have to figure that one
about,
out.
About, not damn funny, when the hell it was? About 14, I guess, 13 or 14.
Well,
yeah,
Bill,
13.
You're still here? You're still staying with Alaska and,
How many children have you got, Bill? And
huh?
Name your family on there. Give the names of your family.
Well,
how many children and grandchildren you got?
I've got 17 grandchildren. I've got 6. Oh. 17 grandchildren. I've got 6 children alive.
6 children alive.
3 boys and 3 girls.
Well, that's nice, Bill, and it's been nice talking to you and to know that you're still with the pioneers and holding her down.
Oh, yes.
And,
yeah.
We've come down here to Nenana now on this mug-up that Eagle number 17 is so nicely prepared for us, and we've enjoyed ourselves immensely. And I want to thank you, Bill, for giving us a few words.
Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
I mean, now, wait,
he'll ask you. George Heprich.
Yeah. You ready now?
Mm-hmm.
This is the big mug-up given by Eagle 17 at Nenana, here at Nenana, on the first day of April, 1962. I'm going to now interview an old-time pioneer and ball player and an old Alaskan friend of mine, George Heprich of Nenana. George, when did you first come to Alaska?
1911.
And where was you born, George?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. What year?
1897.
And when you first come up here? When did you come to in Alaska first?
Oh, I come with my dad to Whitehorse.
Dad to Whitehorse?
He was chief engineer on the government boat.
What boat was it?
General Jacobs.
General Jacobs. What year was that?
1911.
And George, where did you finally reside at? Where did you finally make your home?
Then I joined the survey. And come and we surveyed the railroad here in 1915.
Yeah.
And I stayed in that winter, and the next year I went to work for the Alaska Engineering Commission. And I worked in the warehouse as foreman for 7 years, and I went to work for the MC. And I went in the express business in Indiana, and I've been here ever since.
Well, George, you have some children.
Yeah, five. Three boys and two girls.
Well, where are the boys now?
They're all located in Fairbanks.
The three boys. And where's the two girls?
In Fairbanks.
In Fairbanks. Yeah. Well, that's nice. And George, you used to play ball here in Enana many years ago, didn't you?
Yes.
About what year was that team organized here? I know it was a good ball team, but...
We organized in 1916, the first.
1916. And was called, what was the name of the...
Enana ball team.
Enana ball team. And could you mention just a few of the old-timers that played in that?
Oh, Blakey, Krause,
Ike Taylor,
Harold Anderson, myself, and Markle, and Tom Haynes, and quite a few others. Yeah. I just forgot who.
Was old Tibbs a player, or was he just a referee?
Who? Gibbons.
Gibbons.
He was an umpire.
Umpire,
manager of the ball club once.
Down here at Enana?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty nice. Well, George, it's been nice talking to you here and reminiscing of our old times, you know.
Yes, it is. It's pretty nice to see all these old timers. I thought they all left the country until today. I've met more faces here today than I have in the last 10 years.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, we come down here, we enjoyed everything, and thank you very much, George,
you're welcome.
For your little
you
interview.
Yeah.
Turn it up a little.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Yeah, okay.
Turn it up. Turn
nice.
It up.
Yeah.
You play it turn it up a little.
You want to hear it.
No.
You want to hear it?
What are you going to do with that?
Well, that'll be put in the Pioneer Records.
That's good.
Oh.
That's good.
Oh.
Well, George, I wanted you to tell me some things that was happened around here that you remember about.
Well,
about old Jack Appleton, some of the old-timers, Heine and different ones.
Oh, they're all dead now.
Yeah, but tell me some of the things we used to do around here.
Well, I don't know, just sit and drink homebrew, I guess. me along with them.
Well, how about the dogs? There used to be a lot of dog races here.
Yes, yes.
Tell us about some of their dog mushers.
Well,
who's alive today?
Well, there's mail carriers, there's Bill Burke.
Yeah, he just talked for us a little bit.
Yeah, and that's about all.
Well, how about Al Linder? He used to have the prettiest team here.
No.
He had the pretty white Siberians, you remember him?
Yeah, that was Mike Cooney.
Mike Cooney's dogs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all now. There isn't too many dogs now. There's too much airplane travel.
Mm-hmm.
You see, before everybody had to have dogs to go places. Now they grab an airplane and go to their trap line. And...
Well, what year did they start using electricity and oil here?
1916.
1916. Before that, everybody had coal oil lights and candles?
Oh, yes. The railroad had their own powerhouse here. Mm-hmm. They supplied the town.
Mm-hmm. Remember, I was here when we tore that down. Remember, George?
Yeah,
I came here when we tore it down.
Yeah. The, we had a pretty good... fire equipment here, too. We had 8 hydrants and lots of pressure.
Do you remember about that hobo that come through here on the railroad and they was having trouble, the lines freezing up? Do you remember what he did to open the lines up?
No, I
don't. He dug holes down and put little quarter-inch petcocks in at each of the bends in the line. He'd go along and turn them on when the pipes start to freeze and keep them bleeding into the sand here?
I don't know.
You don't remember that,
no.
Huh? Well, I do remember that, so
yeah.
I just thought maybe you would.
We had a bleeder on each end of the...
Yeah, a little small bleeder line.
Yeah, we'd turn it on.
You stick a wrench down there and turn them on.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got some of that pipe from that old water system and took up to lignite.
Yeah.
I had a water wheel at lignite to run drive my batteries for my radio.
Well, you bought that pickup car, car.
Yeah,
yeah,
I bought that too.
Where's that laying out there yet? Or?
No, the Army got it.
Oh.
See, I put a big pump on it.
Oh, I see.
I bought a marine engine here from one of the boats and a Sterling pump and put on it. And I was using it up there to prospect with.
Oh, I see.
That's when I went up on Lignite Creek that time.
Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Who else do you know? What else do you know about around here?
I don't know everything that seems.
All your kids are growing up, and they was all little shavers smaller than this when I come here.
Yeah, yeah, they was all. They're all married. I got 10, 11 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Well, George, it's kind of nice to be able to come back and visit once in a while.
You betcha. You
I hope betcha. We can keep it up some more.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'll be 63 at the end of this month.
Yeah, well, I'll be 65 in June.
So time's catching up with all of us.
Oh, yes.
Well, we had a fair turnout, better than I expected with the bad roads.
Yeah.
It was kind of slippery and dangerous. Well, George, I'll talk to you again some more.
Huh?
I say I'll talk to you again sometime, huh?
Yeah, you betcha.
Okay.
Ye gods! Sacramento, Idaho, Montana, that guy's throwing moan all over us. Oh, what do you think of guys like that? Jimmy's out polishing the windows so we can see where we're going.
I ain't saying nothing.
Yeah, Earl ain't saying nothing. Andy's going out and help him. Yeah, he says he wants the wiper to go on. The mud's 4 feet thick. Well, by gosh, I can see out the windows now. Jimmy's got to get a job of this. We're about 15 miles out of Enana on our way home from the final meeting at Enana today.
Well, this is April the 1st, 1962, and we had a rather muddy trip. It wasn't rain, it was snow and ice melting. Spring that time of the year. Well, I took, this is Harry Hughes, Igloo 4. I took Andrew Wicken, Jimmy McDonald, and Earl Pilgrim down to Nenana, and I brought back an old time camp cook, a member of Igloo 4 that's cooked in almost every resident camp around here. In this part of Alaska. We had a very nice turnout. There's a little water on each side of the river, but no open water any place. And our car looks like we'd been to the States in it. It's covered with mud. And this evening, to finish the day off, I went to dinner with Earl Pilgrim at the International Airport. The restaurant out there, and we had a good dinner, and I'm back home now, and I guess this is about all for today. This is Harry Hughes, recording for Igloo 4.